Today is the fourth Sunday after Easter, and these are the announcements. Today is Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers who are watching and listening. We will say something more about Mother's Day, specifically about our mother, Virgin Mary. There are some feast days this week. Today is the feast of Saint Antoninus. Tomorrow's second class feast of two of the apostles, Saints Philip and James. Tuesday is the feast of Saints Nereus, Achilles, Domitila, and Saint Pancras. Wednesday is the feast of St. Robert Bellarmine, and also that's the day dedicated to Our Lady of Fatima. It's the first day she appeared. Thursday is commemoration of St. Boniface. On Friday the 15th is the feast of St. John Baptist de La Salle, and on Saturday is the feast of St. Ubaldus. Remember to keep your voices low before Mass during confessions. Just a reminder, when coming to receive the sacrament of penance, please stand in the waiting room or classroom, keeping the social distance of 6 feet. Come to confession as soon as you see the person ahead of you leave the confessional. And please close the door to Office A when you are going to confession. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from Epistle of St. James. Beloved, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no change, nor shadow of alteration. Of his own will he has begotten us by the word of truth, that we might be, as it were, the first fruits of his creatures. You know this, my beloved brethren, but let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not work the justice of God. Therefore, casting aside all uncleanness and abundance of malice, with meekness receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for today's Mass is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 16, verses 5 to 14. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "I am going to him who sent me, and no one of you asks me, 'Where art thou going?' But because I have spoken to you these things, sorrow has filled your heart. But I speak the truth to you. It is expedient for you that I depart. For if I do not go, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of justice, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of justice, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world has already been judged. Many things yet I have to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will teach you all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, But whatever he will hear, he will speak, and the things that are to come he will declare to you. He will glorify me, because he will receive of what is mine and declare it to you. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Today, we are going to start at the beginning, right? The very beginning. That's creation. That's the beginning because God had no beginning. And in the Bible it says that God began to create. So there was a time when God was not creating, and then he began to create. And we believe that the first thing that he created was the angels. You know these things, but some of these things we are repeating to you. And then at that moment that he created the angels, he gave them a law. And the law was, we call it the law of incarnation. Now this law is normally applied to us, men. But we can apply it to the angels too, because St. Thomas tells us that, and this is not a dogma, this is St. Thomas saying this, but this is what we believe, because St. Thomas said it, that the reason the angels fell at the moment of their creation was that God revealed to them what was to come. He made known to them everything. And so they knew that there would be an incarnation, that God was going to be a man, and that they would have to submit not only to the Blessed Trinity, who was a spirit like them, but they would have to submit to a man, the incarnation. So, this man that they would be submitting to would be a physical human being. And you know, of course, that the angels are so far superior to us. They were given great, great knowledge and holiness and power. And now, even though this man would be God, he would also be a man, so inferior to them. And not only this, but they would have to submit to us. They would be in the sense that they would submit in the sense that they would watch over us. They would, in a way, be our servants. They would act as our messengers from God to us. They'd have to pray for us. And we who are so far beneath the angels, naturally speaking. And one other thing. We would be above them, in this sense, that we would be like the Son of God. And so this is why we say that the angels were given the law of incarnation, because in many ways, for all eternity, they would be beneath us. Beneath, and they would have to worship a man, Jesus Christ. And so they fell immediately because they refused. And then God created the rest of the universe. We believe that, let us say, it says in Scripture that on the second day God created one thing, and then the third day he created something else. And many people believe, and it's permitted to believe it, it might be true, that these were six days of creation were six 24-hour periods. It says days, but this is not required to believe this, that this happened in six 24-hour periods. And as a matter of fact, at the beginning, there was no 24 hours because there was no earth revolving around the sun. And scientists, good believing Catholic and so-called Christian scientists, tell us that the universe does not appear to be only as old as the creation of man. They tell us that the universe appears to be extremely old. And so it is possible that God created the universe over a long period of time. We always remember this when we pray to the Sacred Heart. We say, Cor Jesum colium aeternorum, desiderium colium aeternorum. Heart of Jesus, desire of the everlasting hills. Because the everlasting hills refers to heaven. And we always think, how long was it after God created the angels and then he created heaven and earth? Heaven for the good angels, and they went there immediately, and the earth, because we believe that the devils are subject because of their refusal to serve a physical God and be subject to the incarnation, that they are now forever confined in a physical place. Their everlasting torment. And so we believe, not a doctrine, but we believe that the devils are in the earth, confined physically. But in any case, on the sixth day, God created Adam and Eve, or at least Adam. And then he created Eve. And they had a body. So all part of God's plan. Because we must obey the law of incarnation. And that's all this was looking forward to, the incarnation. So God knew that we would fall and he would come to save us. And no, God did not will the sin of Adam and Eve. He does not will our sins. He permits them. He can do that. He's almighty. He knows all things, and he can do all things. and so he can make us free and holy, and he can know that we will fall into sin. And so he created this being, these beings, physical and spiritual, Adam and Eve, combination of the physical universe and also like God, a soul like an angel. He tied them together. Forever. And he made them holy. Holy in body and holy in their soul. Holy in their mind and their will. Physically holy. And they fell. And in view of his becoming one of us, he gave them sorrow for their sins. In view of the cross, in view of his mother, he says to Satan, she will crush your head. And so, Adam and Eve were sorry for their sin, and they became holy again in view of the incarnation. And then God became a man. Now, we tell you all these things on this day because this time after Easter, and especially Easter itself, right up to Pentecost, and especially this day of all the days of these time in between, this day is dedicated to the sacraments. If you read the texts of this Mass for today, you will see that practically every word points to, in some way, the sacraments. And so, God became a man. He entered into the physical universe. And we can say everything he touched became holy, in a way, because he was God and man. He tied the physical universe to himself. And in order to reach heaven and to be like the Son of God, from that moment, everything must touch him. To be holy, everything must touch the Son of God physically. And this is why we have seven sacraments. Because our God is physical. Our God is a man. And he came into the world to make the world holy. And all men must be subject to this law. And so when God was on earth, he entered into his mother, to her womb, and he was born from her, and he spoke with his mouth and his tongue and his lungs. He did everything as a God and as a man. He touched people and he healed them. He spoke and people were cured. And he prayed, because he was God and man. He prayed as a man, just like he redeemed us as a man, but he would not have been able to redeem us if he had not been a God, if he had not been the God. So yes, he was able to physically suffer and die, physically crowned with thorns, physically scourged. Every ounce of his body suffered, every cell, because he would redeem the whole universe as a God and as a man. When he prayed, when he bled in the agony in the garden, he was on the ground. He knelt just to see the Son of God. Makes you holy if you have a good heart. Many people have been converted just by hearing a word from sacred scripture. One of the words that the Son of God spoke. Many people are converted just by coming to a Mass and seeing the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, just by seeing a sacrament. Because this is how we are made holy. The law of incarnation requires that the Holy Catholic Church, which Christ founded with his body and his soul, and he spoke those words, upon this rock I will build my church. This, everything's physical. And so the church is physical. We say this because many people deny this. Inspired by the first rebellion, Satan, because they deny the law of incarnation. Christ's church is physical as he is. We are part of Christ's body, and that is the church. So the church is physical. We can see it. We can hear it. Come to Mass and you can hear it. This is Christ. This is Christ's body here. He is here. We are part of his body. You can see the body. Look at each other. And the seven sacraments by which we are touched and made holy. Physical. And so Christ said, those who believe and are baptized, so it is spiritual and physical. Believe and are baptized, physical, and words are spoken. All the sacraments have matter and form. We say words and we do something. And we are made holy through the Son of God. Physically, we touch his body through a sacrament. Now, many people, once again, deny this. They say baptism was not necessary. It's the devil. See how he inspires people? Baptism, they say, is not necessary. They say, for many centuries, some have said that the physical baptism is not necessary. Believe on the Lord, and you will be saved. And now, we have so-called Catholics who say, not only is it not necessary to be baptized, physically, we will not address at this time the beautiful doctrine, dogma, we can say, of baptism of desire or baptism of blood. We'll leave that for another time. But not only do they deny that we need to be baptized with water physically to touch the Christ, but they deny that we need to believe. Everyone is going to be saved, they say. We have the sacrament of the sacrament of penance. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. That's how we are sanctified, by that sacrament. We touch Christ through the words of the priest, whose sins you shall forgive. And of course, we have the ultimate sacrament. We have the Holy Eucharist. Because Christ said, I am the living bread that has come down from heaven. If anyone eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And of course, many people say that that is not true, that it is not necessary to receive the Holy Eucharist. That's how we touch God. Now we have, brethren, seven sacraments. But we don't have very much time left. So, unfortunately, we have many things to talk about relating to these seven sacraments, but we do not have time because we don't want to make this Mass last forever. We will just say this quickly. Notice, if you notice that in sacred scripture, that from the very beginning, this number of seven was holy. Because we have 7 days, says in sacred scripture, everything was created in 7 days. Well, there are seven actual 24-hour periods is another question. But it says 7 days. Seven angels around the throne of God. Why seven? Seven gifts of the Holy Ghost. As a matter of fact, there are seven Beatitudes, and the eighth, this is what the saints tell us, the eighth Beatitude is simply a summary of the seven Beatitudes. And if you look in sacred scripture, throughout the Bible, you see the number seven. And we would suggest, we've always wondered, why seven? And we suggest to you, we posit this, that from day one, the number seven was a holy number because of the incarnation. And this is how we, you and I, touch God. It is how we reach heaven, is through the number seven, seven sacraments. Because this is the center of the universe. Scientists have not discovered it yet, but the altar is the center of the universe. The whole universe revolves around the altar, because this is God. He's here now. Now, we have more to say on that, but we can't do it now, because we promised to say something about our Blessed Mother on Mother's Day. Many years ago, in India, there was a little girl. She was 12 years old, and she was ready to start her preparations for her first Holy Communion. We don't know her name. And when she was almost ready to start her catechism classes for her first Holy Communion, she became very sick. She had apparently lost her mother, and it was just her father caring for her. And she was bedridden, and she became so sick that all that was left of her were skin and bones. It appeared she would not last long. And while she was sick, her classmates came to visit her and said, "We are starting," some of her classmates, since she lived a long distance from the church, the mission of Saints Peter and Paul. They came to visit her and console her and to tell her that they were now starting, they were doing their preparation for First Holy Communion, and they were hoping that she could come, etc. And soon after this, she prayed, because she had been sick for now for some time, and so she had been weeping and weeping, but not primarily because of her sickness, but because she wanted to receive Holy Communion. She wanted to touch God. And so she had enough strength one night to raise her hands up above her body and to pray. And she said this: "O Holy Mother of God, my dear mother, assist me now." And she fell asleep. And the next morning she woke up and she felt a little better. And she asked her father for a catechism, and he gave it to her. Keep in mind that she was barely able to move before this. And so sometime later, as a matter of fact, it was 10 days before the celebration of First Holy Communion. And she said to her father, "Please take me to the mission. I want to go and prepare for my First Holy Communion. I want to go to Mass." And he said, "If you're strong enough next week, we will go. But now you are not strong enough." And so the Sunday came for her first Holy Communion. And he could see that she was strong enough to go. So he took her to Mass. He prepared her, because it was cold out. And he wrapped her up and put her in the wagon. And they started at midnight. And all night long, the horse trotted to the mission. And they arrived in time. And she said to her father when they arrived, "Please tell Father that I am ready to receive my first Holy Communion." And he said, "You can't do that. You're not prepared." She said, "I'm as prepared as the other children are." And he said to the priest, "Please come and see my daughter. She says that she wants to receive her first Holy Communion and to go to confession first." And the priest came and he said, "What is it that you want?" She said, "I'm prepared to receive my first Holy Communion." And he laughed. And he said, "You can't. You are not prepared." She said, "Ask me a question from the catechism." And he asked her one. And she answered it not only perfectly, but she explained what it meant. And he asked her a second question, and a third, and a fourth. And he said to her, "You know the catechism better than the other children." So he heard a confession, and she received her first Holy Communion. She walked up to receive. And later, that day, the priest and some other officials came to speak with her and to ask her what had happened. And we think it's better to read what she had to say. This is what she said. "After I, in my sorrow, called upon the Mother of God to assist me in receiving my first communion, I fell asleep, and I saw her in a dream. She sat on a chair beside my bed, signed me with the sign of the cross, prayed with me, and undertook to instruct me. She returned every night. As my mother, when I was little, helped me to learn by heart. So the Blessed Virgin repeated the catechism to me, and I said it after her until I learned it. She explained it to me, how Jesus had instituted the Blessed Sacrament at the Last Supper, and how the priest repeats this mystery in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. She told me how we should adore and honor Jesus in the Most Holy Sacrament, and instructed me as to the manner in which I should prepare myself to receive Holy Communion. When I was tired, she laid my weary head down. If there was something that I did not understand, she repeated it. Thus I continued night after night. I listened attentively, thought it all over during the day, and did everything that the Mother of God recommended. I also studied from my catechism, and thus I have been allowed to celebrate my first communion. But I will love and praise the Mother of God all my life for her tender care of me." Happy Mother's Day, all you mothers. May God bless you.